sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
What's going on, good people? How y'all doing today on this Monday, July 22nd, 2024? Yes, I'm doing this early because I got a couple of guests with me, and these two guests are the ones that's going to help me cover the Olympics when it comes to basketball. First order of business would be the man that y'all know from the morning shift. Y'all seen him on here a few times, and he's just giving some interesting takes, especially the last time he was on here when he talked about Team USA. Ladies and gentlemen, the EP of all EPs, Coach Johnson.
Well, how you doing, everybody? How you doing, Playmaker? It is great to be back on Shooting Lights Out. And you, too, can hate on LeBron James today.
We're going to get into LeBron James today, but before we do so, ladies and gentlemen, I have hyped her up numerous times getting ready for the Olympics. I finally got the right timing to get her on the program. She is known as the Queen of Hoop. She is the one that is head of 806 Sports Radio Station down in the good old state of Texas. Nice. And she's a fan of a WNBA player who just won All-Star MVP on past weekend. I mean, she just bust Team USA's behind. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Megan Price.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Oh, so excited about that performance from Arike, right? Like, just really gave it to Team USA. And with that being the motivation, she said that at halftime that Cheryl Miller called her out in front of everybody and was like, the reason we're here is to get Team USA ready for the rest of the world. What are you going to do? And she went out and scored 32 points in the second half.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
We're gonna get into that. But before we get into that, as I always do, I got news and notes from around the game of basketball. Okay. So let's get to it. Cavaliers and Evan Mobley agreed to a 5-year, $224 million rookie extension. That is the max extension. But it could go up to $269 million with all the incentives and stuff. So congratulations to Mr. Mobley getting that contract extension with the Cavs. So Mobley's still there. Donovan Mitchell is still there. We'll see about Jared Allen. No word on him yet. But so far, they're keeping the core together.
And who did they hire for their coach again?
I want to say Kenny Atkins, if I remember correctly.
That's right. And I really like that hire a lot. The only thing I would comment about the Mobley contract is, you know, being a Spurs fan, I'm definitely a fan of players taking a little bit less money in order for the team to be better. And I think the Cavs are a team that drastically need that because they have so many players that want max contracts. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, like somebody's got to take less to be able to spread it around and have the roster that you want. So, you know, I'm all for him and it's a great contract and I'm happy for him. But, you know, like I say, being a Spurs fan, it's about the team.
Well, and you have him to thank, Playmaker, for your team not advancing to the next round.
Ah, shush. Okay. I'm not dwelling in the past, all right?
I'm just speaking facts, bro. That's all I'm doing.
You didn't have to bring up my magic, all right? You did not have to bring up my magic.
Man, right? I had the magic winning that matchup.
So I didn't.
It was a year too early, I think.
I didn't. And him and Cool McCain got on me for not having the magic winning.
Yes, I did.
Man. I mean, as a fan, of course, you should go for your team, but it's okay to be realistic. But I really thought Orlando was going to win that series.
Which tells you
I know my team.
Thank you. Yeah, you
were very logical.
You're right, Playmaker. You do know your team. You know your Clippers very well.
Oh. He's not gonna do that. You have not heard me once this whole season talk about the Clippers like that. You have not.
You got we're not gonna talk years, about the upcoming but, season either.
I don't know. He waiting on that. That's why he brought that up. He waiting on me to get there. Mm-hmm. I know what Coach has to do. He waiting on me to get there. But I found this out, and I'm pretty sure I want to hear Megan your thoughts on this. That the committee proposed.
Yeah.
Changing start dates for college basketball, mainly the women's. Mm-hmm. They are looking to start the women's before the men.
Okay. I'm not surprised. We're going to see so many changes in this upcoming season because of conference realignment. And what this amounts to, the bottom dollar that has always been the issue when it comes to NCAA, and that's money. So they want money, whether it's better time slots, whether it's more games, they want more money because they're actually starting to have to pay their players. And so they're trying to compensate for what they feel like they're losing.
When I seen this, I was like, okay, so we're gonna try to get this thing popped.
They are semi-professional now, though. Since they're getting paid, in my eyes, they're semi-professional athletes. And so if that's what they choose to do, I get it, but not surprised one bit. That's what the NCAA wants, money.
Gotcha. Cole, I'm going to save your college talk for college football.
Oh, that's fine. You already know what I did.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's why I'm saving it for football. Now, 44 games in the WNBA. Maybe we just begun the only season to have 40. So if you're already going to jump to 44 games next year, well, that's what the commissioner wants. And 44 games, it is the most that can be allowed on the current collective bargaining agreement. So why not push the envelope? So how you feel? Next year, 44?
I love it. Do whatever you can to further women's basketball. So the more games that are out there, there's more people watching this year. It seems like the right thing.
Cole, what you got
on your mind? You don't like it, Cole?
What you got on your mind, Cole?
It's not that I don't like it. I agree with you, Megan. I think the game is more expansive. This was going to happen. This is basically a win instead of an if type of thing.
Right.
I'm hoping that she is saying this and she already has the okay from the ownership group. If that's fine, then I think this is kind of cool and you get the feeling that, okay, the league is all in lockstep. But something that is like what we normally see in the NFL, like you hear the commissioner say, well, yeah, we're going to be doing this, and you don't have the ownership group or the players involved, then – It doesn't seem cohesive. I think right now, the one thing the WNBA needs to have is the whole game to be cohesive. I personally think the commissioner, the ownership group, and the players need to be in lockstep with this. This is a great move. I mean, we're just coming off of, what, a $2 billion contract extension they just received. So,
right. Oh, yeah. I'm getting into that because I want to hear Megan's thoughts on that one.
Yeah. This is par for the course. So, yeah, I'm loving this because I agree with you, Megan. Mm-hmm. More games means more exposure, means more money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's good. I just hope this is.
No, you bring up a good point. Like, they need to be prepared for, and they could have been better prepared for the eyes that are on them this season because we all knew it was coming, right? Yeah. And it's only going to continue next year as well because there's another draft class very similar to the one that we just had. And it's going to be league changing. Those are the type of draft classes that we have coming up and continue for the next 3 to 4 years as well. So just literally the faces of WNBA are changing. Yeah. And obviously this is a great thing too, but their preparedness and being ready for this, absolutely. They need to be cohesive. They need to put their best foot forward in order to succeed because this is that moment. So agree. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So those of you who caught Friday's show, you already heard my thoughts when I talked about the new media rights deal that WNBA got, $2.2 billion over 11 years. After that, we had certain people show that's undervaluing the WNBA, like Harry Douglas, former NFL wide receiver, who's now working for ESPN. Even Sherry Moodle, who coached Team WNBA, she didn't like the deal. Me, I'm like, you got to crawl before you walk. You gotta walk before you run. So
absolutely,
we talking triple the money that they getting now.
Right.
But you're the queen, so you talk about it.
No, I agree. Would we love to have every single NBA team with a sister team? Yes. Yeah. Would this answer the problems about having equal rights as far as like athletic, or not rights, but equal quality of venues and workout equipment? And like, would this cancel out a lot of the problems? Of course it would. Mm-hmm. But is it going to happen overnight? No. Mm-mm. It's not. Under the, like, okay, look at the All-Star contest that we had this past weekend. Their price last year was $2,750. This year, because of Affleck, it was $55,000 per contest. And so, like you said, I completely agree. You got to crawl before you can walk. And overexpanding is a thing. The league has had 18 teams before, I believe. 16 or 18, I can't remember. And it didn't work out, and things were mismanaged. And a team like the Houston Comets don't exist anymore because the money was mismanaged so bad. So, yeah, I would rather them build it correctly than build it fastly.
That hurts.
Cool. I know it does. That hurts. No. I'm waiting for the Comets to come back. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the Wings, but I would like to go back to being a winner four times over.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I miss the Comets. I miss them so much. Wow.
Now, man, before I close
out, and I agree with that, Megan, 100%.
Now, before I close out, I ran a hole with segment. Cole Johnson's finna throw up because news broke this morning. LeBron James was voted to be the flag bearer for Team USA for the opening ceremony this Friday night in Paris. Now, those of you don't
there
know,
are.
Those of you who don't know, I am the one who provides Cole Johnson with the sports news for the morning shift with Cole Johnson, and I had no choice when I saw this. I had to send it to him right away.
Right. You know, there is certain things that make America feel good. You know, when the States won the Super Bowl after Hurricane Katrina, it made America feel good. And this is one of those moments. They think, you know, there's tons of LeBron fans out there. I'm not mad at it. He's not my favorite, but I'm also the type that when it comes to fandom, at least, I only stick to my team. So, you know, once they don't play for my team, or if they didn't ever play for my team, I watch them and I appreciate it, but I'm not rooting for them. So that's just my personal opinion on it. But there are lots of LeBron fans, and it makes America feel good. So I'm not surprised.
Go ahead, Cole. Get it off your chest before we go to the point to where you can eviscerate Team USA, because that's the next topic. So go ahead, get it off your chest now.
All right. I am proud of LeBron. It's a great achievement. I'm glad he achieved it. I'm glad he's now basically the mascot for the country to be the flag bearer this weekend in opening ceremonies in Paris. I'm happy for that. He deserves it. He earned it. Congratulations to him. So the comments I'm about to say have nothing to do with I can't stand him. It has everything to do with as soon as I saw it. And I mean, I was getting ready to go on air. As soon as I saw it this morning, I literally threw up in my mouth because I saw 50 million bronze sexuals in my brain just simply have joy juice all over themselves. I really was thinking, Lord have mercy. We're about to actually see a whole ton of these fools, a whole ton of men act as though they're going to twerk to see this information because they couldn't wait to get online and say, your goat can't do this. Guess what my goat didn't do? Bring home a bronze medal.
Ooh.
He ain't lying, because literally after the morning show ended, I hopped on Facebook and the first thing I saw was
And Megan, the exchange I had with Playmaker when he sent it to me, I basically said similar to what I just said. Bronze sexuals, they're just simply going to go crazy. I mean, they're going to really go crazy themselves.
We're the same as I like to call them, the corn people, the crazy Caitlin fans, because it's okay to appreciate greatness and it's okay to appreciate somebody's game. But to say the outlandish stuff that they say or to discredit people that came before them. I can't do it. Can't do it.
See, Megan gets me. That's exactly why I can compartmentalize LeBron James fans from bronsexuals. Not all who like LeBron James fans are as obsessive as bronsexuals are. I have met LeBron James fans. Yes, he's my favorite player, but could he be better? Yeah. Have I seen better? Yeah, but he's my favorite player. I can deal with that.
Right.
All right. So that would do it for Around the Hardwood. Now that I steal some thunder from the morning show, when we come back, Team USA went up against South Sudan on Saturday. And boy, oh boy, did a certain country in the Western Hemisphere almost lost their mind.
I got a lot of tea for this.
We'll let you know why when we come back.
The largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant? Weather. Devastating tornadoes ripped through the heart of the United States. Inspiration. A breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy, and now begins a future one of matrimony or sports. Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another... Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network, in association with Comey Media Incorporated, proudly present The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week in an objective manner and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying. But this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah, they want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. And now we're going to dive right into it because nobody knew what South Sudan was at. And I still stay to this day, nobody knows what South Sudan is at this moment in time.
Right. I'm about to get a headache.
But this South Sudan team, those of you who don't know, they are in Africa.
Right.
This South
well,
Sudan
team. Well, it was shocking game.
They pushed USA, you know. First quarter was tightly contested. You know, South Sudan took a 2-point lead. You know, this LeBron James was, he started off pretty good. And second quarter, it became the South Sudan show. They were on one against the United States. They outscored the United States in the second quarter. 32-20 in the second quarter, and they had a 14-point lead at halftime. We're talking 58-44 South Sudan over United States. What is going on here? And by the way, the United States came to this game as a 43.5-point favorite.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know we did favors in exhibition games, but I learned something new.
You can bet on anything.
Right.
Yeah, I learned something new. But all right, so what is the Team USA gonna do in the third quarter? You know, what we gonna do? This is shocking. Out in London, at all places too.
It's embarrassing.
Right. And then the third quarter comes about. United States picks it up. Steph Curry gets into the action. I know the main consistent person of this entire United States team, Anthony Davis, continuing to doing what he's doing, which will make Cole Johnson happy because that's one of the main people he get on the most.
Yeah, when he plays, he's fine, but he spits the glass most of the time.
He can't help his genetics.
True, but still he's Mr. Glass. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
And he is injury prone.
Now, this gentleman you see here, number 4 in South Sudan, Carter Jones, that man had a triple double.
He did.
15, 11, and 11.
Let homeboy get busy. Mm.
If people in the NBA was watching this game, one of y'all might want to pick him up. Just saying.
There is actually one of their players is a prospect for the Sixers. Is that right?
Actually, one of their players is actually slated to go to Duke University.
Oh, okay.
So you got a guy who played for South Sudan and helped build a 14-point lead going to Duke with Kupla Flack.
Shayok, he was a draft pick for the Sixers. So
Wayne Gabriel. Plays in the NBA, was part of the South Sudan team. And matter of fact, Cole Johnson, just to let you know, the president of South Sudan basketball is a guy that you know very well. New Aldane.
He's still playing. All right. Go ahead, Luol.
New Aldane. No,
and that was the common theme with Sudan. Of they're old. They're still playing. It's not that we didn't know who some of these players are. It was just, wow, they're still playing?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the third quarter was the United States show, outscoring South Sudan 37-18. They take a 5-point lead into the fourth quarter. And I'm not going to do it because I got Cole Johnson to do it. So can you do me the honor, sir? And you know what I'm asking because you see who's on the screen.
Oh, Lord. The United States had a 0.8% chance of winning. And then LeBron James by himself outdid South Sudan.
It was a beautiful buzzer beater. I will say that. It was a great buzzer beater. There's huge problems when you are favored by 43.5 and you only win by 1 point.
Megan said exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly the big time problem I have with this. That's one of the two big time problems I have with it. The other being LeBron James, game winner. That's another reason why he's the GOAT. Shut up.
Funny.
So 101-100 was your final score Saturday afternoon. LeBron James was the savior of this one. Mm-hmm. 25 points, 6 boards, 7 assists. Anthony Davis, I told you, the main consistent person on Team USA, 15-11. Joel Embiid. Cole Johnson had his best game wearing a Team USA uniform on Saturday with 14-7. Mm-hmm. Here's the party issue. So when you have a team that has Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards. Megan Price caught what I was getting to. Team USA went 7-for-28 from the 3-point line.
Oh, Lord, see. You don't really have those types of shooters outside of Steph. And even with him, you want him to take the right type of threes.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, I think they went 1-for-13 in the first half. And that's how South Sudan built that 14-point lead because they couldn't hit a three. But nevertheless, they did get to the line 28 times, converted 22 of those free throws. You know? Mm-hmm. And this raises a lot of concern. You know how people in America are. You know, we've been here our whole life. We know how people in America are. They lost their mind.
I think
ain't gonna medal. This is why Team USA ain't gonna win gold. I'm like,
I'm not gonna go that far. let me say that. I'm not gonna go that far. Now, as you know, when we get over to the W side, I think I have less concern when it comes to the women's Team USA. But as far as getting gold, but I think Team USA men still medals. And I will say that there are different types of wins. There's types of wins when you're the most dominant team, you're a dynasty, and you can expect to win against other teams. Then there's wins that are almost moral victories on top of actual victories that, like, nobody expected this. And just one of those teams that has a lot of heart, and that's that type of victory. That's kind of, even though that they didn't win this was a moral victory for Sudan. Like, literally one of their players was saying that they don't even have indoor courts there, that this was something that they really came together, and it was about more than basketball for them. And obviously they're also older as well. So this was something that, you know, I don't want to say moral victory because it is a feat to play Team USA mm-hmm. this well. But it was one of those, types. And so I think that the men will probably shake back. We will see Kevin Durant with some playing minutes against Germany. So I think that changes things as well. The main thing that stood out on this for me was it kind of seemed like Anthony Edwards choked. And he did all this talking about wanting a starting position. And as big of a fan of Ant that I am, because his game is amazing, you choked. And I don't think you're a starter. Not right now.
My man Dre, he came on and said, South Sudan got athletes. Them dudes were going crazy, but it's okay. It's just a learning lesson for Team USA. We will be okay.
Agreed.
And he also says Team USA is the only one that go 4-0 through these showcase games right now. Stop. That's because the host country decided to lose to Australia. And they got 2 7-footers in their starting lineup, just saying. I'm just throwing that out there.
Now that actually has a little bit of validity behind it. I'll say that. But we know Team Australia is a very well seasoned team, men's and women's side. You can expect a fight no matter whether it's FIBA or it's the Olympics. You can always expect a fight out of Basketball Australia.
So I'm just throwing that out there, you know.
I know he's taking a dig at my. I know he's taking a dig at my Wimby, and I was just as shocked as Wimby's expression. I was just as shocked, but when I saw who made the last shot, it was Patty Mills, and I was like, "Hey, pop product versus pop product."
No wonder.
Pop product versus pop product. Ultimately,
I was like, "Yeah, Spurs fan for sure." Okay.
Always
diehard Spurs fan.
Mm-hmm. Even when they don't play for the Spurs. Okay, got you.
All right, Nicholas Corey Sr., the desire factor was indeed in play. Sudan has mad desire and heart. They did. They played with a lot of hearts.
Oh, man, Team USA needs to stop taking some of these teams lightly and for granted.
And in about an hour and 9 minutes from now, their final showcase game against the reigning World Cup winners of Germany.
Yeah, this is something that I'm really going to be judging Team USA by. This is not, I'm not as concerned about the performance against Sudan. I agree with what Nick had to say. It was just a heart, you know, Sudan just really had it. Whereas this is something where we'll actually gauge skill level and anticipation of what we can see in group play. And we shall see.
Cole, this is the team in Germany that won the World Cup. The exact team, like Diddy Senators on there, the Wagner brothers are on there. They trying to send a message that they need to be taken serious.
Well, see, this is the thing. I'm thinking, and we saw this with Serbia. Team USA took them seriously, especially on the inside. They were committed to not having Nikola Jokic control the game, and so you had that focus from tip off to final buzzer. Very few times have I seen them have that same type of focus in this exhibition. And I get the feeling they may have a little bit more of focus with this team, because then you said they're the defending World Cup champs. But I don't know. They've given to up and down play for the exception of the Serbia game throughout this exhibition season. So I want to see if they can actually lock in, because I mean, the Olympics starts next week. So, you know, let's see what they can do.
So that would do that. All right. Now, there's pretty much one order of business left. And you know what? I'm not going to take a break. We're going to jump right into it, because I got the Queen of Hoops on. So
yeah,
if I had a Queen of Hoops on, you know I gotta go here. I have to go here.
Appreciate you must.
All star.
You must go there.
Any WNBA. First, the shout out to Alicia Gray of the Atlanta Dream, winning both the skills and the 3-point shootout in the same night. The only player to win in the same night. And I'm pretty sure
I see somebody in the comments talking about Anthony didn't choke. Well, in that particular performance, yes, he did.
He could have did better. But I need Anthony Edwards to let the vets do what they do, okay?
You mean he's doing like what he did the Western Conference Finals? Okay.
He's right. He's 22 years old. That is an amazing feat, and he is leading them in scoring. But in this particular performance, this particular game, he didn't do well. I didn't say over all the expedition games. I said this particular game.
Yeah, so shout out to that. Let me go to what happened Saturday. Okay. Team USA versus Team WNBA. You saw Team USA men's side get a scare from South Sudan. That was the appetizer to the main event. This was the main event. Saturday night in Phoenix, Arizona, on ABC. And history repeats itself, literally.
Literally.
3 years ago.
Right down to the MVP of the game.
I was at that one. I was covering that All-Star game.
As you can see, 117 WNBA, 109 Team USA. Arike Gumawale, 34 points.
And she got busy. Jeez.
Man.
Do you see, that's why I put this picture on her. That is Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, and Alicia Gray going bananas on what Arike did in the second half of that game.
Right.
She scored no points in this first half. So let me go back to the thing. She scored no points in the first half. All this came in the second half.
Right.
So she went in. Oh, and by the way, I did say 3 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's Courtney Williams right there.
This is a picture from 3 years ago. You're looking at Dewan Obama. You're looking at Elijah Naney Hamilton, Kalia Koppel, Courtney Williams, Courtney Vandersloot, JJ, and I do believe that's Breonna Jones right there.
Yeah.
And what are they clapping for? Arike Ogunbowale.
Right. My favorite part about this was the differences in the MVP trophies. And just like, it was a real big, you know, what Ross does on Friends to Team USA, not picking Arike two different times in a row. So, you know, she said that she didn't go to the last mini camp. She went to the one in February, and I was able to do the press conference for that one. But that she knew right away that, you know, the vibes were just kind of off. And she didn't put her name in the running. So when the rosters came out, she was not surprised that she didn't make Team USA. But I love this. This was something that I know fit is important, and having four aces on your team and chemistry makes sense. But there has to be a point when stats actually matter. And when somebody's in second in scoring and you're averaging almost 3 steals a game, that's huge. Like, because there's several guards on Team USA that I think Arike could. Because when you talk snub, you got to talk, who would you replace? Like, who would you take off? You can't just throw it out there and say, hey, there was a snub. No, you have to have, who is she going to replace? And in my opinion, I don't mind that DT's on the roster because she's going for the record for the most golds. But Sabrina doesn't play much defense. And Arike is an elite defender. You don't average almost 3 steals a game and not be an elite defender.
My thing was this. I didn't know the status of Chelsea Gray around that time that the roster came out.
I don't mind them picking Chelsea Gray. Chelsea Gray was an integral part in that gold that we got last in Tokyo. And you're not necessarily going to see it from the stat line. She didn't have flashy stats that stood out, but it was her role with that team. And we see how important she is with Vegas too. And so if we're talking fit, I get it. Because if all else fails, because it's looking like BG is still looking a little injured, right? So if we're having to play small ball, which we might have to, you're going to have to fall back on fit. And Vegas knows how to play small ball because they haven't had a real center since Liz Cambage. So it doesn't bother me that they picked those four aces to be there. But, if we're going to talk snub, I think Arike could be there in Sabrina's spot.
That's the first person that came to my mind when they were making this whole argument about who was getting snubbed.
Not that Sabrina hasn't had a great year.
Hey, my girl got her first Olympics, so I'm good. But I will say this. When 2028 gets here, okay, I'm talking straight to the people of USA Basketball. All right. Matter of fact, give me this camera.
Oh, Lord.
USA Basketball. When 2028 gets here and we go to L.A. for the Olympics, Arike better be on the team. Caitlin Clark need to be on the team. Angel Reese need to be on the team. I'm letting go of this 4 years. I'm giving you 4 years.
I don't think that will be a problem.
Right. But if this woman here, how long has she been in the league, Megan?
Is this five years? This is her fifth season. And so she's been an all-star season. Four out of five, she's been an all-star. Two times she's been all-star MVP. This time, I think last time when she won the MVP, it was like 26 points. This time she increased it to 34 points. And her defense has taken a different level. Now I get like winning matters. You know, we're the worst team in the league right now. I understand. But that's not a part of Team USA. And I agree. Like they absolutely have to make some different decisions when it comes to their roster building, when it comes next go around, because I'm not even super impressed with our 3-on-3, to be perfectly honest. What they should have done is announce the 5-on-5 roster, and then you announce the 3-on-3 roster, and those ladies that you feel like you left out on the 5-on-5, you put them on the 3-on-3, because I think we're a little spoiled. The first time we went into the 3-on-3 competition, it was the inaugural competition for the Olympics, and we had Kelsey Plum on that team, Stephanie Dolson, Alicia Gray. Like that roster was stacked, and I don't know that I feel that way right now about the 3-on-3 that we have constructed.
Look at these two pictures. This is from 2021 at the top, and this is from this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. Centering around the same player.
Mm.
So twice. So the last two times we went to WA versus Team USA, and I'm going to say it plain, Arikia Gomorada has bust Team USA's ass twice.
But she said, they did say that this is that exhibition game that is supposed to get them ready, get Team USA ready for the rest of the world. And so, you know,
I agree.
There you go.
Guess what?
Hand it to them.
Well, guess what? In 2021, who brought home gold?
Team USA. Of course, right. But they played Japan, and Japan played us well in that finals.
That I know. But before I continue on, shout out to the two rookies that I mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Caitlin Clark with 10 assists, setting a rookie record in the All-Star game. And I don't care how y'all feel about injuries, but last time I checked, you're not supposed to get double-doubles in an All-Star game.
You know, supposed to lead.
Yeah, but she has an actual off season to work on her shots.
Say that again, man.
Yeah, she has a real coach like that. That talent level is going to be crazy. And the same thing for Caitlin with a real off season to be able to work on her game. Man, I can't imagine what next season is going to be like.
I'm just saying, Cole, you're not supposed to get double doubles in All Star games.
You're not supposed to lead the league in rebounding in your rookie season.
Well, Candace Parker.
Candace Parker. Yeah.
Candace Parker is different.
Well, she's an anomaly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just letting you know. Like, I'm gonna need USA basketball to get together for LA. Cause we're the host country in 4 years. So I'm gonna need y'all to take all the politics out of this. Make sure we got the 12 best ready to defend the home country.
Agree.
I think we are.
I think the men's side is looking a little aged. We talk about Sudan being old, but come on, KD's getting up there. Steph is getting older, and his ankles are twice as old.
We saw a little how they did this one for the men's side because Anthony Edwards get to watch how the older players did it.
If I see
LeBron, this is what we did to win gold. Now we passing it down to you to everybody else. So now when it's y'all turn in 2020, because LeBron said he ain't doing this again. He's done.
I was about to say, if I see him at 43 in LA, something is absolutely wrong with Team USA.
Oh no, LeBron said he ain't even gonna be in LA. He's leaving the country.
Look now, and DT said I'll be in LA, but I'm gonna be on the beach with a beer.
Man, all right.
So I need y'all.
It's her last international games too. So like, it is what it is.
4 years.
Go ahead, Dana.
Now before I close out, because I'm gonna make this very quick, because it's like the last couple of times. We read at the end, like tonight, and the men play Germany. This is their final showcase before the Olympics. So we need to see a good showing for the men tonight.
That's correct.
Like y'all beat the brakes off Serbia, mm-hmm. and the one time that you wanted Anthony Davis to show up, he showed up against Mikhail Jokic.
He did.
Right.
Yes.
What we gonna do here? Like I said, World Cup champions in Germany. They brought their team back. They trying to take over.
I think if we get a double-digit win, I'll feel satisfied. 11, 12 points, because we, like you said, we're talking the FIBA champion right now. And they have the same returning team. So if we win by 11 or 12, similar to what we did with Canada, I feel satisfied, because Team Canada is a good team too.
Yeah, they are. And I think they're going to be more amped for this one. I think they're going to be more mm-hmm. ready, and they're going to put more of their best foot forward in this game. That's what I believe.
Plus KD makes a difference.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah. Durant has been hurt for a minute. Now he's going to be back. Yeah. He'll make a world of difference.
See, that's today in about 55 minutes.
And then we'll play Germany tomorrow.
Right. The women, who practically have like no time to get to build any time. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They got to go against Germany and London the very next day, which is tomorrow, before they head to Paris for the Olympics. So, my queen.
I'm not as worried about this matchup. Okay. And y'all know I'm a Dallas fan, and so Satu Sabali, this is going to be our first sighting of her since February. She tore rotator cuff, I believe, had surgery. And so I'm not really watching Team USA in this matchup. I'm watching Satu for personal reasons, because I'm trying to see what that shoulder looks like on her shot, because what is the rest of my season going to look like as a Wings fan? No, I'm not rooting for Germany. I'm just watching. Like, is she okay? What does that shot look like?
No, I'm sorry. No, sorry, Maker. Go ahead, playmaker.
Like, she's looking at her other superstar, because that's who they've been missing the whole entire time.
That's Enrique's right hand. And so I'm just trying to figure out what to expect for the rest of the season.
Because surprisingly, even though they are at the bottom of the barrier, they still have a chance to make the playoffs.
Right, of course. It always comes down to those last couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
They're only six games out from Chicago.
No. Your analysis was on point, Megan. I just heard Dallas, and that just it brought the Houston in me. I'm so my apologies.
Cole Johnson, what do you want to see from my ladies tomorrow to make you feel good about going for what is it, 8 straight gold?
I think what I want to see is the reason why they created the team that they have is fit. So I want to see if the fit on the court matches the fit on the paper. And you can say that wasn't fully the case when they played Team WNBA. But let's be honest. It's basically women with the same skill level playing against the women with the same skill level.
Right. I think it just shows that the W is the best in the world.
Right. And I think and instead of exactly making it, instead of looking at Team USA saying, well, man, they're garbage because you had a whole bunch of WNBA all-stars beat them. To me, it's more, it's a compliment. Yeah. It's a compliment to the WNBA, because it's like, well, they're all-stars too. And they deserve to be on that big stage just like this, just like Team USA does. And to me, I'm not even looking at that as like that's a bad mark on them. They are meant to get ready, and I'm glad that they did do that, and I'm glad Team USA went through it. Now, when they play the other women across the world, I don't think they will have an issue, because I think they'll say, we learned our lesson from the All-Star game. I don't think we'll meet a team as talented as that. And if we just play our game,
group play, group is tough. Like, we got Japan, mm-hmm. Germany, and Belgium.
Yeah,
that's the best in the world besides Australia. Because I do expect Australia to be right there. Lauren Jackson is playing out of her mind at 43 years old. So I do expect that, but it is going to be really tough group stage. So I'm excited to see it, but I think we come out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, like I said, when I told you I was coming to the Olympics, I mean, no, I was not joking. This is the Olympic schedule for the men. Mm-hmm. Starting right off the bat with Nikola Jokic and Serbia.
Right.
And then right back
with a closer game.
And then right back with South Sudan.
I most certainly expect a closer game too.
And then we got Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico, we might have a little problem with Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah. They who do they have on their squad?
Jose Alvarado. Yes,
Alvarado. I love Grand Theft Auto. Whoa. I love him. Love
That's
him.
A great nickname for him. Oh my god.
He single-handedly put Puerto Rico into the Olympics.
Right.
That is a great nickname for him.
So that's the men.
I love me some Alvarado.
I do too.
The women, We're going to open up with Japan.
Yeah. Then rematch of the gold.
Then we got Belgium and then Germany.
I'm more concerned about Japan and Belgium. Belgium has Emma Mieseman. Japan has some good players, and they have some size. And so that's the lane play concerns me a little bit, because the only actual center that we have listed is BG. So if BG's having an off game and she's still looking injured, because the injury is groin, and we know how those linger, it's tough. But of course, she's going to go and play and try her best. So that's my only concern, is that Japan has some size. I think we can run small ball just fine. Vegas, all the Vegas players are used to it. So, I mean, I think it should be okay, but that's where the one I got circled, and I'm like, okay, then.
So you got BG circled. I have Nafisha Collier circled.
Yeah, her ankle, for sure.
Like, Coach Reed's on the
play. She's a gold medalist. Like, she's a gold medalist, and has played important roles in the times that other times that she's won gold. So, health is an issue, but I mean, it's her coach that is also the coach. So there's going to be some chemistry there as well.
All right. I'm just making sure, because Wednesday, I might come back tomorrow after the women play, because I'm going to make sure we understand what we saw between the two games from today and tomorrow to get us ready for the Olympics. Because women are trying to go for 8 straight. The men are going for 5 straight.
I like the women's chances better.
I know you do. Everybody does.
Well, I don't want to get cocky about it, because I feel like that's when losses happen. And that might have been what happened with South Sudan on the men's side, you know?
So don't worry. These two will be joining me once the Olympics start. All right, they have all the dates planned out for when we're going to record. And it fits everybody's schedule perfectly. So they'll be joining me next Monday.
Awesome.
Because the men start... Actually, it might be Tuesday, because the men start on Sunday. The ladies start on next Monday. Depending on how things work out, we got Monday, Tuesday to get you recapped in and get you on ready for the next game. So, as we get up out of here, Queen, any message for Team USA as a whole as we head over to Paris?
I think mostly just fall back on what you know. And you guys know each other. Y'all have been playing together since AAU days, and you've been playing against each other, some of y'all for 20 plus years, some of y'all for 25 plus years, if you include the AAU days. Fall back on what y'all know. You're the best in the world for a reason. Go in and do it.
Coach Johnson, final words for Team USA before we start talking Olympics.
Well, from the women, play like you actually own the court, because you all do. And I'm not saying to be cocky. I'm just saying, just basically own the fact that you have the most talent in the game, and just do what you do and shine like I know you can shine. And for the men, you got to understand, this isn't like 1992, where every other team is so superiorly inferior to you that all you have to do is just roll the ball on the court and you can just simply dunk and shoot all over them. Treat these teams as if they have NBA players on them. Oh, that's big, right? Because they do. So focus, focus, focus. Because if you don't take every one of these games seriously, you actually might walk out of Paris without a medal. And that has never happened in the history of basketball for the US of A.
All right, that's Cole Johnson. Catch him in about less than 2 hours to talk some football with D. Willie on Total Football Talk. That's the Queen of Hoops. You can catch her at 806 Sports Radio Station down in Texas. Also, every once in a while, popping up on Monday nights for the Sports Arena.
Yeah.
And they'll be joining me next week to recap how the first games of the men's and women's took place in Paris. For that, I am the Playmaker. I'll be seeing y'all sometime this week to make sure we got the result that we were looking for before we head to Paris. Deuces.
Bye-bye, Kawhi.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting Lights Out.